Good afternoon, Radio Laurier. How is everyone today? Hope everyone's doing good. I'm Andrew Richard, your host at Richard's Ringside Radio, and let's just get it going. NHL season starts tonight. The 2018-2019 NHL season starts tonight, so get excited for that. Now, we have quite a lot of things to cover in today's episode, so I hope you're prepared for that. Let's get started with the latest breaking news that happened just a few minutes ago as I was setting up. Washington forward Tom Wilson suspended 20 games. 20 games. That's quite a lot. Now, I would probably say that the 20 games is reflective of Wilson's past. If you remember in the playoffs, he broke Ashton Reese's jaw with a hit and got suspended a few games there. And if you saw the hit, it was not a good one. To summarize, Wilson made a beeline and just really nailed St. Louis's Oscar Sundqvist and really got him good. Blindsided him straight to the head. So yeah, Wilson out 20 games. Quite a sizable amount of time. So Washington will be without one of their top forwards. He played the first line in the playoffs. They'll be without him for a good while. Staying with the Capitals. Now, I think it was last week where TSN released their top 50 players in the NHL right now. If you saw it, you might agree, you might not. I personally did not agree with TSN's list. I thought it was a little... I mean, some players deserve to be where they are and some players didn't. Like the fact that Price was left off. I know I'm a little biased being a Habs fan, but I still believe Price should have been on that list at least somewhere. And the biggest part for me was Alex Ovechkin at number 12. I thought that was rather silly. We're talking about a guy who's won the Rocket Richard Trophy numerous of times. You know, he's got countless of awards. And the biggest thing that kept Ovechkin out of the conversation for one of the best players of the league was that he didn't have a Stanley Cup. Well, he silenced, at least I would think, he silenced a lot of his critics last year when he was integral to the Caps winning the Cup last year. We're talking about a guy now who, among all of his own personal accolades, you've got a Conn Smythe Trophy winner at that. In a Stanley Cup where, if you watched it, you wouldn't recognize him. I mean, the Ovechkin I saw in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year was completely different than the Ovechkin we've seen in the past. He was blocking shots, he was back-checking, just the drive was there. So I feel like he deserved to be at least in the top 10, maybe even the top 6. I think he's underappreciated. I know that we look a lot at two-way game of Ovechkin and that how he lacks defensively, but you still got to give the guy credit for what he puts up for offensively and what he brings to the team, the physicality. And I just don't understand how months earlier, Ovechkin was the number one fantasy player ahead of McDavid, and then TSN released their list of best players, and Ovechkin is not even in the top 10. I think that's a little stupid, but that's my thoughts on that, especially now that he's got a Stanley Cup. But moving on, let's just keep going through the news here. Anaheim forward Corey Perry out for 5 months with knee surgery. That's a big loss for Anaheim, who's already missing Ryan Kessler from hip surgery, I believe. Anaheim, I don't know. They're going to have a heavy burden to bear for the first part of the season, missing a lot of their key players. Injuries have not been kind to the Anaheim Ducks the last couple months. Right before the playoffs, I believe it was Lindholm, who got injured right before the playoffs, obviously not helping them as they got swept in the first round. Keeping going with injuries, Columbus defenseman Seth Jones is out for 4 to 6 weeks. Big loss for them. Jones is a key part of their defense, turning into one of the premier defensemen of the league. So for sure a big loss for Columbus, especially a team that is worried about signing back some of their big stars in the offseason. Next offseason, Sergei Bobrovsky, the two-time Vezina winner, and Artirian Panarin. So that's another concern for them. Robert Bertuzzo of the St. Louis Blues suspended for the rest of the preseason. I guess this is older news because the preseason is over, but he will be missing one regular season game for his elbow to the head of Michael Kempney. Michael Kempney actually suffered a concussion on that play and will be missing, I believe, 2 games. Let me just check. Yep, 2 games as he recovers from a concussion. All right. Jesperi Kotkaniemi makes the Montreal roster. So he is the first player born in the 2000s to ever make a pro team, which is interesting. So Kotkaniemi, I mean, I saw the guy play. He's just so slick for, I don't know if he's 17 or 18, but he's just so slick a player. He knows what to do with the puck. He's great. Away from the puck, obviously great defensively, and especially that fits the mindset of Habs coach Claude Julien. So Julien liked what he saw, and Kotkaniemi's now on the team. Good or bad thing? I think it's good. It's good to get him some experience, but I also think it's bad because, I mean, players can always use further development in the minor leagues. Plus, it's dangerous to burn a year of his entry-level deal, so we'll have to see how that turns out. So the Hartford Whalers jersey is back. So the Carolina Hurricanes will be wearing the Hartford Whaler jerseys, if you don't know. No, know what they are. They're a jersey. The Hartford Whalers were a team that used to be in the NHL and then relocated to Carolina. So their jerseys were a lime green almost with a whale tail that formed a W. So the Hurricanes will be rocking this retro look for two regular season games, both against the Boston Bruins. I have down here for Ty Ratty for the Edmonton Oilers, who made a case to play with McDavid in the preseason, having 10 points in 3 games. Quite an accomplishment. So we'll see how he plays on McDavid's wing. Maybe it's the winger that McDavid's been searching for. It's been a while since McDavid's had any good chemistry with somebody, especially if you look at last year's performance. Not for him, per se, but by the team. So if anybody can play well with McDavid, that'll certainly help the team. More news on the injury front in Montreal. Defenseman David Schlemko will miss 6 weeks with knee injuries. A lot of knee injuries going around the league right now. It's a plague. But yeah, Schlemko out for 6 weeks, just when he started getting some chemistry going on in training camp, just as he got his foot in the door. Out for 6 weeks. Man, combine that with Weber's knee surgery. It's taking its toll out in Montreal. So we'll have to see how the Habs remedy that situation. Former Kings captain Dustin Brown is out with a broken finger. So he'll be out for a good amount of time. With a broken finger. Not a good way to start a season for Brown. Now, some big news for the Montreal Canadiens, and I don't want to say it, but I called it. Shea Weber named 30th captain in Habs history. Now, again, like I said, don't want to say that I called it, but I did. If you remember last week, we discussed captains in the league and who should replace whom. I named Weber or Gallagher as captains for Montreal, and they ended up going with Weber. I think it's a great decision. Weber is somebody who's a leader. He's a big, gritty guy. I don't want to say gritty because I have nightmares now, but he's a team player. He's a leader, both on and off the ice, and he was captain in Nashville, and he did great there. He's a real role model for the team, a great exemplification of what a captain should be. So I think it's a great choice, regardless of whether or not he's missing half the season. I think it's a great choice. I always had a feeling that Patch Reddy was never a great captain in Montreal, regardless of the rumors that Therrien had called him a bad captain, regardless of that. I never thought he was a good captain. The year they made him captain, they tanked. So I think that it was a rough transition for him. I don't think he was really ready for the role. And I always thought eventually they would take the captaincy away from him and give it to Weber. But it ended up working out anyway, that they traded Patch Reddy and got something for him and made Weber eventual captain. And then Brendan Gallagher and Paul Byron were named assistant captains for the Canadiens. Former Flyer / Predator / Columbus Blue Jacket player Scott Hartnell retired after I can't remember how many seasons, but he retires after scoring 327 goals with 707 points. So an impressive career for the guy who couldn't skate. Yes. So the Leafs waived Curtis McElhinney, Calvin Pickard to the minors. And so Curtis McElhinney ended up getting picked up by the Hurricanes, and the Philadelphia Flyers picked up Calvin Pickard. A big blow to the Maple Leafs' depth in their goaltending position. They went from having a great starter in Anderson, a solid backup in McElhinney, and depth in the minors if either of them got injured. Now they went with their new guy. So it's going to be a real question of if Anderson goes down for a time or their backup goes out for another time, for amount of time, who will play that role? Yeah, I don't know. They also have Garrett Sparks in goal as well as their backup. Sorry, the name was escaping me. Garrett Sparks is the backup for the Leafs now. Again, if either of them go out with injuries, then question what the Leafs will do with that. All right, let's keep going. The Oilers traded Jakub Jurabek to St. Louis for a 2020 sixth rounder, but that could become a fifth rounder if Jurabek plays 50 games. Jurabek, a former Hab, is sizable. That's not a bad return, a sixth rounder or fifth rounder for a guy who might not play very much time. Recently won the Stanley Cup with Washington this past summer. Coincidentally, the Leafs traded defenseman Connor Carrick to the Stars for a seventh rounder, and that seventh rounder could become a sixth rounder if Carrick plays 50 games. Interesting, I like looking at these two trades. In my opinion, I feel like Carrick's the better defenseman than Jurabek. Jurabek's good, but I feel like Carrick he's been on an NHL roster more often than Jurabek was, so I don't know why St. Louis gave up a sixth rounder and Dallas only gave up a seven. I don't know. That just confuses me. Again, more injury news. Torey Krug of the Boston Bruins left a preseason game against Philly with a lower body injury. Now, could that be a recurring injury from when he fractured his ankle against the Lightning in the playoffs? Or could it be possible? Now, humor me. Is it possible that Krug, while on the ice, looked out, saw Gritty, the Flyers mascot, and just ran into the building, claiming an LBI injury? It's possible, so I'm not ruling it out. But it's confirmed that Krug will be out for 3 weeks. But good news for the Bruins is that Bergeron will be likely available for the home opener. So Boston will likely enjoy having their star center back in the lineup. Radim Verbata, former Phoenix Coyote, Vancouver Canuck, Anaheim Duck, Florida Panther. I mean, you name it, this guy's been there. Radim Verbata retiring, scored 284 goals and 339 assists in his career in 16 seasons. Not a bad career for Verbata. I think I remember reading he was 14th or something in scoring among Czech players. So congratulations on a good career to Radim Verbata. Like I said earlier in the beginning of the show, tonight's 2018 to 2019 season starts tonight. The game between the Leafs and the Habs in Toronto at 7 p.m. Bruins versus Caps, Flames versus Canucks, and Ducks versus Sharks are all games that will be occurring in tonight's opening night of the NHL season. We're just going to go to a quick break. So this is Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Enjoy. All right, welcome back. So that was Bob Dylan, Mr. Tambourine Man. A great song, Bob Dylan, man. Quite the singer, quite the unique voice. So the first two songs we listened to that were my choice. Last week we didn't have much of a choice on music, strictly because the iTunes was not working. But today I got to pick my own music, and the two songs you heard, Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, and Mr. Tambourine Man by Bob Dylan, are typically the kind of songs that you're going to be hearing, purely based on the fact that I love classic rock and roll music, so thus that's going to be what I'm going to be playing, mostly on the show. So I hope you like that. It's all great music, and again, if you want me to play any feeling in that genre, tweet at me at Rink Richard on Twitter. I'd be interested to hear what you guys suggest. Typically, my music interests are spanned from about the 1950s to late 70s. See, if you have any songs you want to listen to in that time frame, I would more than happy be willing to play that. Plus, I'm always willing to learn and listen to new music in that time. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. I did a little research in between the break, and it's all coming very fast, very quickly, because it's all very fresh. Like, Tom Wilson's suspension happened right before the show started, so I didn't have time. Actually, on my list of things to talk about, I was talking about the Wilson suspension and my prediction. My prediction was somewhere between 6 to 10 games for Wilson. Evidently, I was wrong, because he got 20. Now, the reason I think he got 20 was because of his history, and more specifically, his recent history. Now, if maybe Wilson had a suspicious check last year at the beginning of the season, around this time, right, and he got suspended for it, then I think the league would have been a little more lenient as far as his history goes. Yes, he's got a history, right? But I think what really had something to do with him getting such a lengthy suspension was because he got suspended 4 months ago. In hockey months, he got suspended last month. He got suspended the last time he was on the ice, which was, well, relatively the last time, in the playoffs. So he got suspended right after, just a few weeks, I guess a few games after. He got suspended in the second round when the Caps were playing the Penguins. He got I can't remember which game it was, but he got suspended for a really high hit against Penguins forward Ashton Reese and broke his jaw on the play. And yeah, Wilson got suspended for that one or two games. But then when he came back, he was a real force in conference finals and, of course, the finals against Vegas. And I think just because that happened only a few games ago, in retrospect, right, the preseason's 12 games, I think, and count maybe 14 games of the playoffs since. That's not a lot of time for a player to be suspended from suspension to suspension. So I think that definitely played a contribute to his 20-game suspension, which is a lot. That's almost a quarter of the season, which is a lot, especially with Wilson, the amount of money he's making. He just signed a brand new contract in the offseason, but he's making a lot of money, and he's a first-line player. And don't get me wrong, I love players who hit. I love players who are physical, but you got to draw the line. You know, it is one thing to be physical, but it's another thing to go out there with the intent to hurt somebody. And that's the kind of behavior Wilson's exhibiting. So regardless, big loss for the Caps to lose Wilson. Again, he plays the first line. He's a force. He's physical. He's motivating. I think he's just got to mature a little bit more. But he's also a leader in the room, I've heard. So I don't know. It's a confusing situation not that confusing, because he's got a history, of course. But yeah, anyway, the suspension that Wilson got, again, 20 games, will cost him $1,260,162.60. Wow. That seems like a lot to me, but I guess the money he's making, it's not a whole lot. Question is, well, it's not really a question, right? The money is very minuscule in comparison to the time he's going to miss in the season, but just an added fact to the Wilson suspension that I felt like I should include. But back onto my list of topics. Wings defenseman Mike Green, if you remember, used to play with Washington, is out for 4 weeks with a virus. Don't know what kind of virus it is, but it must be pretty severe to keep a veteran like Mike Green out of the lineup for 4 weeks. Again, that's a long time. So the Wings will miss one of their only good defensemen. Could that affect his trade value going to the deadline? I doubt it. There's speculation that he will be traded. There was speculation last season that Green would be traded at the deadline. Never happened. So, I don't know. Don't know where the Wings are thinking they're heading. Maybe they're just keeping on to Green to bring tickets, people in. But I can't really see that being the case. I don't know why they hung on to him. I think it'd be kind of foolish if they kept him for another year. It's very obvious they're in a rebuild. So I don't know why they'd keep him. a kind of a fun little thing that's happening in the NHL right now is Joe Thornton, the center for the San Jose Sharks, shaved his beard, or more specifically, Brett Burns shaved Thornton's beard. I think for the past 2 or 3 years, Thornton's been sporting a rather bulky beard to match the beard that Burns grows, or has, I suppose. And Burns is well known throughout the league and the world of sports, essentially, for his big beard. Thornton mimicked that and grew a pretty big beard with a white stripe down the middle almost, because obviously Thornton's, I think, 39, so a little bit of gray in the beard. But he rocked that for about 2 or 3 seasons and shaved it off. A lot of questions about that. Why? Maybe, in my opinion, I'm thinking Thornton shaved it off as sort of a page turner, because it wasn't a great year for him last year. He missed a lot of time. The last 2 years, actually, he's missed a lot of time with injuries, more specifically in the playoffs. I think he only played 1 or 2 games in the playoffs. Not even. I think he might have played 1 or 2 games in last year's playoffs. But he was playing with a torn MCL and ACL. And then in the season before, against Edmonton, he missed some sizable time in that series with, I think, an MCL injury as well. So I'm thinking Thornton's shaved the beard to try and shave that part and try and start fresh with, you know, fresh off injuries in what could be one of his last years. So I think it's definitely a matter of turning the page and trying to start fresh this year. The Sharks, wow, they're positioned pretty well right now. I mean, I would argue that with the addition of Erik Karlsson, they've probably got one of the best decors in the league. Interestingly enough, Karlsson won't be playing with Burns. I imagine for the power play he will be. But he's slotted right now to play with Vlasic. So the question is, does Burns slide to the second line? Or does Burns play on the first line and Carlson's on the second line? I don't know. A lot of questions about that. But I imagine it makes more sense to have an offensive defenseman pair with a defensive defenseman like Vlasic rather than having an offensive defenseman like Karlsson paired with... I'd actually argue that Carlson's more of a two-way. But Burns, clearly an offensive defenseman. I think it just makes more sense to pair complementing defensemen. But yeah, also with the re-signing of Evander Kane, that should do a good amount for the team. They've already got a pretty strong core of not Marlowe, that was a few years ago. Joe Thornton and Joe Pavelski, Logan Couture, Timo Meier, Thomas Hertl, again, their defense core, and a solid goaltending in Martin Jones. I think he flies under the radar. So yeah, I think they're in a really good position. A lot of people are picking Vegas to win the Pacific Division. I would disagree. I think Vegas got really lucky last year. Now, not to take anything away from them, obviously they had a great run. But in my opinion, they had a rather easy trip in the playoffs. They played the Kings, who barely got into playoffs, swept them, because the Kings have... They don't have a lot of offense. Like, let's be honest. Past Jeff Carter, there's not much going on. I guess you could consider Anze Kopitar as well. He had a good year. But they swept them. They played the Sharks, who, don't get me wrong, the Sharks are good, but Vegas was just riding some sort of massive momentum train and beat the Sharks. But the Sharks were the only team that really put up much of a fight. And then they took on Winnipeg. I picked Winnipeg over Vegas. Easy. The one thing I didn't consider is that if you watch the Winnipeg and Nashville series, that was a brutal series. Probably one of the best series in that playoffs. So back and forth. So, like, highly contested. Every puck you had to fight for. But I feel like Winnipeg was just really mentally and physically drained from that series going 7 with Nashville. So I imagine that probably didn't help when they came to go to Vegas. Vegas had a long break after beating the Sharks in 5 games. And I imagine that must have helped. Again, Vegas had that momentum train. They had the momentum. They had rest. And the Jets were just
too beaten up. So they rode that pretty easy, that series. And then when it came time to the finals, they faced a better team in Washington. Washington was determined. Yes, they went 7 games with Tampa, and I think Vegas only went 6 games with Winnipeg, 5 or 6. So they had more rest. But Washington was just on a roll, and nothing was going to stop them, and they bowled over Vegas pretty easy in 5 games. But yeah, that's my opinion on the playoffs, in a nutshell, I guess the West. But yeah, I would pick the Sharks to win the Pacific, not the Knights. They lost a lot in the offseason. Yes, they gained a lot in signing Paul Stastny. But they, I don't know. I don't think they're going to have as great a season as they did last year. Just my opinion. Anyway, moving on. Some small signings. Former Vegas defenseman Jason Garrison and former Cap, funnily enough, Alex Chiasson signed with Edmonton. So Garrison didn't play a lot of last year, played a lot in the minor leagues, so he was waived. But Alex Chiasson, Stanley Cup champion, played a few games for the Caps in the playoffs. Both of them signed small deals in Edmonton, both 1 year, I believe. Funnily enough, I just finished talking about the playoffs. And Garrison, a former Vegas Knight, and Chiasson, a former Cap, both signed with the same team, so I think it's a little funny. but moving on, Simon Gagné, former Edmonton Oiler and Columbus Blue Jacket, and then signed in Vancouver, which was surprising. But Vancouver put him on waivers. That was even more surprising than him signing there in the first place. Gagné, I think, is a talented player. I think easily a top 9 forward on the team. Or on Vancouver, I suppose. Or in Vancouver, he'd probably play a little bit higher. Why they waived him is surprising. I can't really think of a reason why, unless he was severely underperforming. But his contract's not that bad, especially for a team that doesn't have a lot of... They have a lot of cap space, because they don't have a lot of big-name players that are sucking a lot of cap space. So why they waived him is beyond me. The direction of Vancouver is very confusing. With the signings of Delzato and Gagné, like, last year, sending a message of almost a retooling instead of a complete rebuild. And then this summer, they did the same thing by signing Jay Beagle from Washington to a sizable... I just don't get it. Why are they signing older players to play? I mean, maybe it makes sense to trade these guys at the deadline and acquire some picks. I don't know. Don't really know what's going on in Vancouver right now. But a questionable decision to send down Gagné. I don't like it. Personally, if I was GM, I wouldn't send him down because of the risk of what eventually would happen, in which Toronto picked up Gagné and assigned him to the Marlies. So the Leafs picking up a solid player, essentially. So they keep him in the minors, and if anybody in their lineup goes out, then they've got a solid NHL player who can play the fourth line if they have to. I would argue Gagné could play a third line, but in Toronto, he'd probably play on the fourth line. So a smart pickup there by the Leafs to make up for the bad waiving of Pickard and McElhinney. But then again, I guess, what do you do? I think all three of those goalies, and Sparks included, were waiver eligible. So what do you do, right? You have to just waive them based on performance and hope that nobody picks them up, which did not happen for the Leafs. Sticking with Vancouver, the Canucks named 4 alternate captains to replace Henrik Sedin as he and brother Daniel retired after last season. So they named Alexander Edler, longtime Canuck, Bo Horvat, Brandon Sutter, and Chris Tanev as assistant captains in Vancouver. Not wanting to name a captain this year. I get it. Makes sense. I still maintain Horvat will probably be the next captain of the Canucks, but we will have to see how that turns out. So Andrew Shaw for the Habs might play tonight against the Leafs. He's a game time decision. A lot of people didn't think he'd be coming back until like almost December or November at least, but he says he's ready. Doctors are checking him out, so he could be a game time, not could be, he is a game time decision for tonight's game against the Leafs. So we'll have to see if Shaw slots in to the Habs lineup. Now, in the practice, he was playing on the fourth line. I think for the money they're paying him and the quality of player he is, I'd say at least third line, maybe second. I love Shaw. I love the way he plays. Sometimes he goes a little over the line, but that's fine. But the money they're paying him, he should not be playing. I think he's overpaid for the team, but a great player. Don't get me wrong. Keeping with the Habs, Jacob De La Rose is out for tonight's game against the Leafs. He was slotted to play. but he is not playing. He is now on injury reserve after a, quote, cardiac episode after the Habs' last preseason game against the Sens. So no De La Rose tonight, but perhaps Shaw, which is good news for the Habs, as he is recovering from knee surgery. So if we can get all of our players back from their knee injuries, we might be okay. Now, Seattle is the next team slated to become an expansion team, and they have a vote going on in December, and that's their final vote. And if everybody can agree, then it's going to be official that Seattle will be the 32nd team. That took me forever to say. I don't know why. The 32nd team in the NHL. What they will be called, no one has an idea, but we can assume that they'll be in the Pacific Division, which could be good because it'll form a rivalry with the Vancouver Canucks, who are close in proximity to Seattle. Big news with the Habs today. Long-time Habs vet Thomas Plekanec is a healthy scratch tonight. That's a big one. I don't understand it. Plekanec was a consistent player with the Habs for 10-plus years. Then they traded him to the Leafs. He did amazing with the Leafs, especially in the playoffs. And then they signed him again, which I liked because he did well with the Leafs. I knew he did well with the Leafs because it's a contract year. But I thought it'd be good to have a veteran presence back in Montreal, and so he can retire in Montreal because he's a Hab through and through. I think it's rather questionable for him to be a healthy scratch tonight, especially considering how weak Montreal is down the middle. I just don't understand it. We have this stress of how bad our center is, and they just send somebody like Plekanec down. I mean, not down, but they make him a scratch. I can't understand it. If I were Thomas Plekanec, I'd be extremely frustrated as they sign him and then put him. I just don't get it. And same thing with Carl Alsner. Why they made him a healthy scratch for tonight's game as well. Like 2 years ago, Alsner signed a 5-year, pretty sizable contract with Montreal. And then they make him a healthy scratch in the first game of the season. I just don't get it. Our center ice is pretty weak. Our defense is pretty battered with Weber and Schlemko both out. And now we scratch a regular in Alsner. I don't get it. Why they would... It doesn't make any sense. I don't know who's going to replace Alsner on the back end. I thought we would be struggling enough to replace Weber and Schlemko, especially since Bergevin didn't do anything in the offseason to acquire anybody to fill those holes. I don't know where the decisions... why the decisions are being made and where this team is going. In other news, Domi is also going to be playing. He's demoted, essentially, further down the lineup because of his actions in the preseason. So that's just another lineup announcement for the Habs. Moving away from the Habs, because I'm just going to get angrier, we move to Ottawa, where Brady Tkachuk will miss the first game of the regular season as he recovers from a groin strain. So the Sens are going to be missing their fourth overall pick in their first game of the season. Other news with the Sens, Matt Duchene, Mark Stone, Matt Borowiecki, and Zach Smith, all named alternate captains. Borowiecki and Smith will be alternating alternate captains, so one will be assistant captain for the first half of the season. Or no, one will be an assistant captain on the road, and the other will be an assistant captain on home ice. So that's with the Sens, sorry. Robbie Fabbri out in St. Louis, still plagued with injuries. I think Fabry's a great player, but he's consistently injured, and it's really hurting him. No pun intended. He missed all of last year with, again, a knee injury, and this year he's going to miss some time with a groin injury. So do you keep investing in Fabbri? I don't know. He's missed a lot of time, and he's still getting paid? I don't know. What do you do with that? He can play, there's no doubt about it, but I just don't know. With that, we're going to go on break here. This will be our last break of the day before we do a rapid fire of news when we come back. Elvis Presley. This is mine. I can't walk out. That is Suspicious Minds by Elvis Presley. What a song, man. If there are any Elvis fans out there, respect. I'm a very big fan of the King of Rock. Anyway, back on it. In recent news, I believe it was today, Vancouver issued, well, I guess Bo Horvat in Vancouver was discussing how the Canucks have implemented a Fortnite ban. Now, for those of you who don't know, Fortnite is a very infectious video game in which you can play with people, you can play by yourself, but basically it is a survival-esque game where you drop with a bunch of other players and the last one standing wins. You can build to protect yourself or to gain advantages over players. I'm not going to discuss Fortnite much more, but basically Canucks banning Fortnite gameplay on the road so that the team can focus more on team building. And Jets forward Patrick Laine kind of chimed back and said basically that the Canucks are using Fortnite as an excuse for why they did so poorly last year. A little bit of shade thrown out by the Jets forward, but nothing too bad, I think. I think it's funny. I think Fortnite's a little overrated. I mean, I like the game, but I don't think it should be dominating the lives of professional athletes. I remember there was rumors earlier in the summer that Vancouver defenseman Oli Giovielli, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but there was talk that he was underperforming and not staying in physical shape because he was playing too much Fortnite. I just think it's ridiculous, but whatever. Other news, second overall pick in this year's draft, Evgeny Svechnikov, Andrei Svechnikov, brother of Evgeny Svechnikov, my apologies, is named to the Carolina roster. So the former Barry Colt, drafted second overall by Carolina, will be playing with the team. How long he stays is the question. Now, again, in last episode, last week, we were discussing captains and who should replace them. Now, in Montreal, I said Shea Weber and Brendan Gallagher, but Shea Weber was my pick and who should be the next captain in Montreal. Now, I'll be honest. I did not think that Montreal would be naming a captain this year, but I like that. I like that they did. But yeah, they named Shea Weber captain of Montreal. I like it. I love the decision. I think it's great. And then in Buffalo, I made the prediction that they would be naming Jack Eichel as captain of their team. And I believe it was either yesterday or 2 days ago, Buffalo named Jack Eichel their captain. Now, I'm not saying that I'm some sort of precog or something. I just know. I've been watching hockey, been playing hockey long enough to know what kind of players exhibit captaincy. What players ooze the sort of characteristics and qualities that you want in a captain. And I think that Eichel was a great choice for captain. Again, I'll even go over some of my points that I made for him last time when I suggested it. So yeah, I said that Eichel is young, talented, committed to the success of the team. Again, like I said last week, whenever he talked to the media, he was always quite frustrated that the team was doing poorly. He demonstrated that he really cared for the team. He gave it his all on the ice. And I think especially when Ryan O'Reilly got traded from Buffalo to St. Louis, it was unanimous that Eichel would be captain. Because in my opinion, I thought perhaps O'Reilly would be named captain of Buffalo. Because again, he was a great leader for the team. But when he left, it left a spot. And I think that Eichel was a great choice to make for captain. I called that one. And again, in Montreal, I called it with Pacioretty. I mean, it's not Pacioretty, with Weber replacing them, replacing Pacioretty as captain. Again, some of the points I made last week was Weber's a leader. He's rugged. He's willing to sacrifice for the team. He's a face of the franchise, especially after the Subban trade, or I guess as a result of the Subban trade. He's experienced as a captain as a captain in Nashville. And again, fun fact about Weber being named captain, he's the first Canadian captain for the Montreal Canadiens since Vincent Dampoose in 1998. So 20 years since Montreal had a Canadian captain, Shea Weber, not captain of Montreal. I love that one probably even more, but I also just like Shea Weber in general as a player, but that is just my opinion. Now, we're at the end of my list. I don't have any more topics to discuss, but we have some time left in this episode. So I thought we could go even more in depth about Alexander Ovechkin. Again, there's talk that Ovechkin may not play as well or as hard as he did last year because he's got his cup. He's not motivated anymore. Why should he be? He's got his Stanley Cup. I think that's nonsense. I think that's absolute nonsense. I would argue that Ovechkin, he's got a taste for Stanley Cup. And if you talk to any guy in the league, any guy who's won the Stanley Cup, the only thing they want more is not to ride off into the sunset because they've got what they wanted. No, they want more. They want a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, you name it, drink from that cup. And I would argue that Ovechkin feels the same way. And again, you could even bring in the argument that he's still in competition with Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby's got three Stanley Cups. Ovechkin's got one now. So why not try and chase Crosby and tie? Crosby and Ovechkin have been competing for the against each other for the entirety of their careers. They were drafted in the same, not in the same year. They were drafted around the same time, I think a year apart. And they've always been back and forth. So I disagree severely that Ovechkin would just coast from here on in because he has a Stanley Cup. I think that's nonsense. That's just my opinion. And going back to TSN's list of Ovechkin being the 12th best player, I'll give you a rundown of Ovechkin's statistics. Okay. A 2007 Art Ross Trophy winner. Now, that may not seem like an accomplishment to only have one Art Ross Trophy, but you have to think of that time. The early 2000s, some of the greatest players were still playing. Or I guess it was very highly contested at that time. You had Sidney Crosby, who was racking up points like nobody's business. You've still had Jerome Iginla, who was out doing everything he could. Rick Nash. And probably most importantly, let me just double check here on something. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, you had Joe Thornton, who was also very prominent. Evgeny Malkin, the Sedin brothers, my apologies. And I'm not sure if Jagr was still very, I don't even know if Jagr was still in the league at this point. But Jaromir Jagr, if he was still around playing in that time, he was very prominent in the Art Ross race. So a lot of heavy competition for the Art Ross. I don't know why people forget about that. The Art Ross isn't something easy to win, especially now, especially then. I mean, you could argue it's easy to win now. Ovechkin won the Art Ross with 112 points. I believe it was a few years ago where Jamie Benn won the Art Ross with like 90-something points. So just put that into perspective. Now, we go into arguably his most accomplished trophy case, the Maurice Richard Trophy, which is the trophy awarded to the player who has the most goals. And for reference, the Art Ross is the trophy awarded to the player who has the most points in a season. Ovechkin has won the Maurice Richard Trophy in 2007, 2008, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, and 2017. Seven times he's won most goals in the NHL in a season. How people forget that. I guess they don't forget it, but they don't think it's that big of an accomplishment because the NHL awards is just kind of tossed aside. He's a three-time Ted Lindsay Award winner, which is like MVP voted by the players, and a Hart Trophy winner three times, which is league MVP, a Calder Trophy, a Stanley Cup, and a Conn Smythe. Now, I know that TSN's list was made up on best players for this season based on last season. But still, now, Ovechkin didn't have as many points as, say, Nikita Kucherov or Nathan MacKinnon, Taylor Hall. But look at, he had 49 goals last year and was a force on the ice. You watched the Capitals game last year, didn't matter if it was regular season or preseason or postseason. Ovechkin was dominant whenever he had the puck on his stick. I mean, the guy was a Conn Smythe Trophy winner. How TSN can overlook a Conn Smythe Trophy winner and push him back to 12th is beyond me. If you want to, I will make the argument that Nikita Kucherov being in sixth place is too high. Way too high, in my opinion. Kucherov, while he had a great season, was virtually invisible in the playoffs. Invisible. So is playoffs the time where it counts, is it not? So why Ovechkin isn't getting that sort of respect is beyond me. Now, continuing on the list, I don't really have time to be discussing everybody on the list, but one thing I wanted to point out right before I end it is Mitch Marner was pretty low on the list, Now, again, I'm not a Leaf fan, but Mitch Marner is pretty low on the list, and Matthews was fourth or something. Auston Matthews is great. Don't get me wrong. But are we forgetting that Mitch Marner led the Leafs in scoring last year? Like, you could talk about Matthews' injury all you want, but Mitch Marner led the team in scoring last year. And look in the playoffs. You had Auston Matthews, who was invisible in the first round against Boston. Invisible. Talk all you want about, you know, Babcock not giving him time, but Auston Matthews was shut down completely by Zdeno Chara. Not to take anything away from Chara, but he was shut down completely by Chara. And evidently Babcock didn't have enough belief in Matthews to give him those minutes. Who did he give those minutes to? Mitchell Marner. And Marner excelled. He was great in the playoffs. So why Matthews is so high and why Marner is so low is very confusing. And it's going to become even more confusing when contract extensions come up. Who gets paid more? Matthews, Marner? It's a real question, but it's a question for another day. Now, I've gone over my time limit here, but I'm just going to finish everything up because we are done for today. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Rashard's Ringside Radio. Great day today. Got a little bit of music in, which is great. A little bit over, so I apologize if that's an inconvenience to anybody. But yes, that is today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for coming out. I had a blast. So thank you all so much for coming out. I hope you enjoyed, and I will see you, not next week, because next week's reading week, but the week after next week, I will see you all for the next edition of Rashard's Ringside Radio. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed. Make sure to enjoy tonight's games, the first game, the first night of the season tonight. I know I'm going to be going home and watching the Habs versus Leafs tonight. So be sure to catch any games of the opening season, and I will see you all next week. Thank you. Have a great day.